they just talk on the phone, and well, I hear about telemedicine, but I never heard about telephone medicine. But that's another issue. This is how prison officers are treated. Some of them were sleeping on the floor because they did not make a proper arrangements to house these people. They just wanted to make sure they have a workforce in prison when they shut it down. So they called people in and tested them, some of whom turned out to be negative and some turned out to be positive. But because they were all bundled together, haven't been tested, now even the negative ones going to mix it with the positive ones, so you can't let them out. Mind you, but you've taken prisoners and prison officers and lumped them in one group all together, and the people who were positive went in to deal with inmates who were negative. The persons finally got back their results, and you're positive. No, but you didn't know you was positive all along, and you put them in situations where they can infect other people. One turned out to be negative, one turned out to be positive. No, so you got problems. No. They're trying to save costs, but yet still you would go and give all of our money to tourists who came to Barbados knowing full well the dangers of traveling. But you won't do that. But you would not want to segregate people who are suspected of having this thing just in case one of them got it. No. But they start doing it now because they realize that they infected other people. So the authorities are responsible for prison officers getting infected because of the situation they put them in. It is unfair. It is unreasonable.
I want to say to you that going at this rate, there has to be, ought to be, a fuller discussion with the public of Barbados about prison and exactly what measures are being put in place. If what you are saying is correct, then the authorities may well find that some lawyers will be coming after them in the not too distant future. This is a very difficult situation for all concerned, and we appreciate that. But in every sphere, the government is going to be, the government is going to be charged with the responsibility of trying to ensure that it makes all the necessary efforts to protect the lives of people in the institutions where it has what is described as a duty of care. So I really hope that the Home Affairs Minister would make himself available to tell Barbadians exactly how we are trying to grapple with that aspect of the problem. Prison officers and inmates.
They have a prison officer in prison right now who cannot work in those conditions because of his medical condition. They know it and they're not assigning him any duties, but they will not let him leave. This is so ridiculous it has become. He is serving no useful purpose in the prison, only endangering himself. He had serious medical conditions and he cannot even work near paint. You know, and he ended up in hospital. But yet still, they're restricting him to remain in prison, knowing full well that he cannot work. They're not assigning him any duties. He's just in the prison. And they won't let him out of the prison because, I can't say what, because that you won't be able to print it. I mean, publish it, because you won't have any proof.
Yeah.
But trust me when I tell you that they have given him no sensible reason. I've spoken to his wife, I've spoken to himself, I've spoken to his doctors, and these people are saying he should not be there. But they shut him in the prison and won't let you out. He's not working. You have other prison officers who call me and tell me that they came out of prison expecting that they would have come to get tested and gone back home. They shut the prison and keep them inside there. So,
officer situation is particularly serious because a number of the people who live in homes with prison officers have also come down positive with COVID, and there's a lot of anxiety among those people as well. So I think because prison officers have been moving between the prison and their homes, and they have been mixing with other people, that's one side of it. The other part of it is that prison officers who have to use public transport are going through a lot of trauma. Because as long as people see their uniform, they're starting to shun them and stuff like that. There's a stigma.
That, prison officer's wife went this morning to pay the insurance for their vehicle. Mind you, he has been locked down in the prison for the longest time, and he has not come home. And he's negative. But they don't want her in the office to come and pay the insurance because she has been a prison officer. The people are being scorned. They tried their best to put the blame on
for a lawsuit on either side. Your allegation basically is that the authorities have basically put prison officers together in circumstances where the positives and the negatives can be mixed up, and that I think you've already said that some prison officers have been complaining because they're effectively locked in and locked down in the prison because they are not allowed to go home. They're being treated that way because they are paramilitary, and therefore
they're not paramilitary. What? These are human beings and have every right under the laws of Barbados to work under conditions that.
But let me ask you, if that's the case, then there must be legal recourse to addressing the problems that you are talking about. There must be some method or mechanism by which a prison officer who feels aggrieved in this way can actually challenge the system. Otherwise, where are we? They have no redress in this regard?
Devin, when prison officers take matters to courts, it is the administration.
All right.
One case in particular which will prove that prison officers are not military.
So my question, therefore, is whether COVID is showing us just how acute it could be, and in those circumstances, what kind of reform is needed to better protect the interests of prison officers?
The what is needed, and they'll tell you, all you have to do is to treat those people like human beings, you know. There's not even changes in the rules. Just treat them like human beings, but they're not treated as such because you have military people running the place, and then they decide that they're treating them like house soldiers. They're not soldiers. They're not paramilitary, as the Attorney General said, but that was a convenient answer at the point in time without thinking what he was saying. You know, you have to treat people like human beings. The conditions that they have prison officers and prisoners under, you wouldn't want for yourself or your children. And I tell people all the time, treat people the way you would expect to be treated, and you will be doing the right thing. You don't got to know the law, you don't got to know the rules, you don't got to know nothing. Just treat people the way you would expect to be treated. And nobody in Barbados, from Prime Minister down, would accept those conditions that the prison officers and the prisoners in Barbados are under right now. Let me tell you, I can give you all one story. One young lady, she is pregnant. Supposed to go to her doctor, you know, antenatal care. They won't let her go. Shut her down in the prison. And these are things that are happening. And when you talk about them, the ministers come and make some foolish statements, and I can call them foolish statements because they are, making things and not even answering the points that you've made. I've seen the minister this morning making some points in the newspaper, and I said, look there, I'm not going to respond to that.
But, you know, you would expect that you are going to be accused of being inflammatory, and that you are dealing with a matter that relates to national security interests, and that basically there are those who may want to suggest more than that, that by coming forward in this way, you are being irresponsible. I want you to respond.
I will tell you, I have been more than responsible. I have contacted the Prime Minister. I've sent messages to the Prime Minister, and she even thanked me in her voice and a WhatsApp message for respecting the national security concerns of this country. But at the same time, let me pull up my WhatsApp, I can even read it for you, because I am the least inflammatory person in the place. But I want people to be treated well. I want people to be not to be put in danger just because you got a job. And in order to keep that job, you have to risk your life. Nobody should be asked to do that, right? So I tried my best to hold back to make sure that I don't become inflammatory and that I don't end up with these accusations against me, and mind you, that will be true. So I've actually check a lot of things. But what I'm telling you now are not the worst things that I can tell you. I am being selective in the things that I can say to you because I do not want to further inflame the situation. What I am telling you, Mr. Ellis, are the moderate things. Here we tell you, they are far worse than I'm telling you, but the condition, and the thing is...
I will just say this. Look, given the concerns that you are raising, it is important for the government to give Barbadians some sense of assurance about the steps that are being taken to treat all concerned in a humane manner. Because you're a prison officer, it does not mean, or a policeman for that matter, or defense force soldier, you are still expected to be treated in a humane manner in difficult circumstances. And one would hope that the concerns that have been raised here are not going to be dismissed. You are not the only person drawing this matter to our attention, but earlier there was a mother of an inmate who also raised some questions and she wanted answers. So we cannot treat this as though it is to be ignored. You know, we just can't do that. All right? Well, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I am calling with respect to test results. Mm-hmm. My daughter just came from a lockdown in the situation where she was as a young adult student. She came back here on Monday with a negative test. She had her test on Thursday, and she is still in the hotel waiting to get out. Are the bracelets available? Can these people who have come in with a negative test, who are Barbadians, and who for some reason or other, and there's a particular reason why she is at the hotel that she's at and she's not with us. I did not know she would have had to go to a hotel. So there is a safe place for her where she would be alone. It has food. It has everything. She just needs to go home. And these are her words to me, Mommy. I've just come from a lockdown. I am tired. I just want to go home. Can somebody please help? I mean, before she came in, she was given numbers that she can call. She wasn't getting through. After the press conference, with the new number that was given, she was able to get through at midnight. She was told, okay, your results should be ready the next day. This is now 3 days post that.
We can only hope that someone from government will come forward and give guidance as to what can be done in this kind of circumstance. I hear your pain, and obviously your daughter is frustrated and pained in these circumstances. Truth is, ma'am, we are in such a situation right now where so many things need to be addressed, so many answers need to be given. It is clear that we are under tremendous pressure, especially as it relates to the testing of individuals. This is part of what happens with COVID. When too many cases arise, it puts pressure on the limited resources of small countries. It even puts pressure on the resources of bigger countries. And here we are in a situation where we have to be asking Cuba and as many other countries as we can, the World Health Organization, PAHO, even for assistance in the form of personnel, because we don't have it all. That's why we go back to this position.
I understand all of that.
You want an answer, and you want an answer to your question.
But
a Barbadian who is in quarantine and can't get the results, what can be done in those circumstances. Agree?
And it is not, we could not get through to the numbers that she was supposed to speak to. But when the new number came, she got hold of that person the night time.
Mm-hmm.
And the person did respond via email. And the person has responded again via email. But you are still waiting on a system where you have a young adult who has a prior condition that makes her vulnerable under a situation like this, who really needs to be dealt with. I'm not saying that everybody else doesn't need to be dealt with. I'm not going into her particular situation. But she needs
with priority. Yes. What you can do is leave your details with the producer, and we will see if we can pass on a question to one of the relevant people in government to see what they can do on your behalf and your daughter's behalf. Okay? Thank you very much. As it relates to this question of the testing of inmates, people who are entering prison, I'm told that an inmate would go straight to maximum security, the maximum security building, where they would be tested and quarantined for 2 weeks at first, okay? So any notion that it does not happen is misplaced from what I'm being told here. Dr. Brass Tacks, hello. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
I'm good, too. I'm good. I was listening to the program earlier, and I see the stats man is giving the fourth estate more credibility than the prime minister. Now, if the prime minister had a press conference and she announced what she was looking at, then if the people were listening to the press conference, they would hear what she had said. And if the people decide to make a run for whatever they make a run for, it was because that they listened to her. But that there was so outrageous last time that that can even come up for consideration again in our lifetime. So I will leave that there, Mr. Ellis. But the Sunday night, the press conference, I had called in a bit earlier, and then she came in after. And she said that it is not about her. It is about the people, and she care about the people. And she went back to before the last election, whereby she had pledged to give the non-contributory pensioners a $70 a week increase, which worked out to a 43% increase. And it came with a caveat that she is going to keep the parity with the contributory pensioners. And she has not kept that. I know the Staxman had said he here a differential. Since then, he changed it to relativity. She have kept none of them. So I am calling upon her that we, the contributory pensioners, she should care about us too and keep the parity that she promised. Even at the onset of the COVID, she went and she gave the welfare recipients a 40% increase. So I am calling for a 45% increase for the contributory pensioners. And I would also like to add, I started paying national insurance at 16, even before I could appear income tax, or income tax started at 18. So I was paying national insurance from 16, I started paying income tax from 18. And I feel that if any benefits is coming, it should be coming to those that contribute. And I would like her, if she wants to claim that she's caring, and she can remember that she promised before the election to give the non-contributors, she should also remember that she promised to keep the parity. And I would like she to get to it as soon as possible. What do you have to say about that, Miss Ellis?
Anything to help you.
But not me. Don't say me. To help me. It is all of you that contribute. You yourself can find yourself in that situation as a contributor pensioner at some point.
Listen, you made a plea on your own behalf more than anything else today.
I made a plea.
That is why he said anything to help you.
But no, it ain't me. It is a whole group. A whole group. The contributory pensioners is more than the non-contributory pensioners. So it's a whole big group. And you yourself can end up in it, Mr. Allen.
Well, I thank you very much for speaking on my behalf, too.
Well, there you go.
Thank you. All right. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
I see what a spokesperson.
Yes, speaking on my behalf. He's looking after my best interests.
Yeah, he wants to really announce him. I call... Which, on a serious note, I called. First, Happy New Year to you and the whole Starcom family.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I called, I heard a lady just now speaking about her daughter and what she's going through. But I agree with you 100%. We are staged on Barbados where COVID can be, if you don't take control of it, it can run us into some real serious trouble. And I understand what she's saying with her daughter, because she said her daughter was locked down and stuff like that. And I hope she realized that when her daughter was locked down, the only space she could have gotten out is after she was given the space or the time to maneuver. Because these large countries, like you said, are putting things in place, even America, which you work, now having something like 3,000 deaths per day. So the whole systems are being overwhelmed. So
yes.
I understand what some people are saying, but they need to understand that, because if you have a system that was going to come in at 1,000 and 20,000 come on time, there has to be a slow somewhere. So it takes some patience, and we got to understand. And what irks me is that people don't raise that, and we keep on trying to crisis. I understand you believe a lot of things are hindered, but we go to the bank, we have to be Mr. Ellis. That's point one. But I really call to listen to Mr. Franklin, often on radio, on any newspaper. I am really shocked to really tell Mr. Franklin come on the program on the papers to represent the wardens. And I always ask myself, does the MS have any, or are they in his thoughts at times? Because
he's not in a position to represent inmates. He's representing warders. And you must appreciate that inmates should normally be represented by lawyers.
Precisely. I understand. But I'm trying to say, right, I asked, no, in the Sunday Sunday, I just said, maybe he's talking about how they would seek a lawyer for in case the warder don't get some answer results by Tuesday. And then I asked this question is, if it were in states, would not these same MS be able to sue the government?
It is possible, depending. I mean, if the situation is serious, they have that option. They can do so.
Right. So I'm not. You have to also consider MS. I understand your trouble. The MS they mail there and bring no COVID to the prison.
But you can do that. He's looking after the wardens. You can look after the inmates.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to say. I'm tired of hearing the boards have to offer all the time.
But why are you tired? Why are you tired of that? Remember this. In many instances, those warders, they go to work and they come back out into the community. So it's important. What happens to them is very important.
Precisely. That's what I'm saying, right, Mr. Ellis? I look at over the boards, the warden, the soldier, the doctor, all these, I call them frontline workers, because you have to deal with people. I said, you come in from overseas, you are charged with an offense or something. After you're dealt with the court, they have to come to prison warning. So I look at all these jobs as a very important role in society, in social service right now. And I keep on saying, people keep on saying government and blame government. I passed government stage in tours because I was given jobs, but I stopped by a shop the idea to have a drink. Me and a partner, it'd be only two of us. And it's on there, Mr. Allison, look and see some crowd of girls there. Playing dominoes and some playing cards. You know what they've done, Mr. Ellis, after playing boys playing cards? Having a split and sharing it around. And then people are going to tell me about tours.
That's dangerous stuff.
I saw people really keep. I said, Mr. Ellis, we have business. Business are really reckless and careless. And maybe we keep on coming to talk about government. We have to. I don't know if even the messaging that is going on. A and it's not getting through, unless we got to put the message in its place. Young people still doing the same thing as adults do. So the government is trying, and some people are trying to acknowledge how serious and how dangerous this thing can be. But a lot of people them still don't care. So I'm saying we always blame this and blame that, but we gotta look at ourselves because we don't understand. We gotta learn to protect ourselves, our family, and some other people. But we just go on this carefree thing.
I think, sir, that at this point in this pandemic, it is very important that we take this matter seriously.
Yeah.
This pandemic has the potential to spread rapidly and to affect many more people.
Precisely.
So that's why we have a lot of complaints here today. People are worried about how government has responded. People have been critical of the fact that the government opened up the borders and took a big risk because it didn't modify the protocols sufficiently. And today, we are now, as they see it, in a difficult situation. But in addition to all of that, our systems are being overwhelmed in certain areas. And the idea now of what it is that we can do at the individual levels, first of all, to try to reduce the transmission of COVID-19 in Barbados. Secondly, to assist as much as possible in the areas where there is weakness. It is crucial. And that's my sense of where we are today. We won't get out of this merely by complaining about what is wrong. If we are not careful, we can make it worse before it gets better. And all parties, all individuals in the country working in various institutions, the steps need to be taken to protect as many people as possible. That's why I say we weren't sitting down here thinking about the prison. We talked about the hospital. The government came out and gave a lot of talk about how you don't want to have COVID in the hospital. And well, we avoided it for a long time, but we got it now. Or we've had it. And the question is, I mean, with what consequences? Now comes the prison. With what consequences? We have other institutions. We got the psychiatric hospital. We've heard nothing about that, but you need to be reassured about what steps are being taken there. We have the geriatric hospitals across the country. The public ones, the private ones. What are we able to do with this, the limited resources that we have to try to test and to get early information that will inform the kind of action that we can take? Operating on the premise that whatever we have in Barbados right now has been spreading rapidly in certain areas. Okay, that's how I see it. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Right, I wanted to raise a situation that we are faced with here as a family. One of our siblings, well, not sister, niece, she is pregnant, is connected to one of the persons, her boyfriend, brother, was one of the prison officers. What has happened is that the boyfriend had 3 tests so far. He has only received 1 back. The first one is negative, but he hasn't gotten back the other 2. She has been tested, has not received any results back. She obviously can't go to work. Her antenatal clinic is tomorrow. Haven't received any tests. So I'm wondering, what is she supposed to do?
Wow. So that's a very serious situation there. I believe there must be some hotline because the government had created quite a number of hotlines at one stage. And perhaps it would be useful for her to communicate with somebody on one of the hotlines and to see what was happening. I can't give you an answer.
This thing is much bigger than we are thinking because you have people that are home all this time, not working. I don't know if they can claim unemployment. or sickness benefit, or I don't know how it works. So you can't, you're renting, you can't pay rent or whatever. You have, you know, overhead expenses to be paid. You can't meet your expenses. Now you have, you're pregnant now, and you don't know if you can be looked at. So I don't know how it works.
Let me see what they've said here about the hotlines. I went to the GIS.
But she is website. Constantly calling the clinic too and not getting a response.
And not getting an answer. That's another. Because, but this is where, this is happening largely because the system is overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, they can't respond to the many calls that they are getting. And to what extent do they need more assistance, volunteers, and that sort of thing? We are really at this stage.
Yeah, I understand what is happening, but this is a real situation, because if something happened to her in pregnancy, who is going to look at her?
I'm in no position to give you the answer to that at all. You know, there's so many people with different challenges out there, different scenarios confronting them, that this, I hope, will be part and parcel of what the communications unit that government is setting up would be about, trying to, because I think it has a lot more to do in relation to trying to get information back to patients and that sort of thing, and people who've been tested, and to work as a central unit where critical information like that comes to them, and they in turn find ways and means of communicating with the public. It's a big task. You know, some people look at it and they say, well, why would you need so many people? You need that many people because of the magnitude of the problem. And it is not just one of coming on radio and television and saying, well, this is the latest update. It's more than that.
Yes, yes.
So we need to improve on
that. Do you have any numbers? Do you have any numbers?
I was here trying to look for the... Which number was she calling?
Ask her if she was calling the 4500 number. The 4500 number. There is...
Well, I don't have anything to hand right now. But what I can do is ask... I may have to look, because we sometimes get so much information that it's quite possible that information is in my system somewhere, and I have to look for it. The number I have here is 536-4500.
Right.
536.
Okay. Apparently she was calling a direct number to a nurse.
Well, let her try this number, and this is the COVID-19 hotline.
Right.
536-4500.
Yes.
And see whether she can get through there. All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Time for one more call on this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling in connection with the test for the COVID-19 result.
Yes, ma'am.
My niece has been in the hotel now for 7 nights. She took her test on Wednesday, the 6th of January, and she can get back no results.
Yep. And what pressure is that putting on you and the rest of the family?
It's putting a lot of pressure because, first of all, she's in the hotel with her mother, who is 76 years old, and her daughter, who has a newborn baby of 2 months. My point is, you're getting no question from anybody. Nobody is saying anything. And they're just stuck in a hotel room. They cannot leave the room. They can't take fresh air from anywhere. They're just stuck in a hotel room. And nobody is doing anything to relieve the situation. And I further want to say that all Barbadians who feel that the government...